somewhere back in the 1980s, I started doing some freelance writing for a local paper. It was actually the Rankin County News. And I took some photographs for them, and they gave me a key, and I would go over there at night sometimes and develop the pictures and print them and that sort of thing. Well, one night I was over there by myself. It was probably 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening. And when it came time to leave, of course, I'm in the dark room with just the safe light in there. I couldn't get the door open. And I was there in the building by myself. And so I pushed at it. I even, you know, I've seen all these movies where people throw their shoulder up against it and it opens. And I tried that and just about killed myself. And so I sat down against the door on the floor thinking, how embarrassing this is going to be when the office staff comes in the morning and I'm in there probably crying by that time. And they're going to have to let me out of the dark room. And I thought, I don't know about you, but the most powerful human sense is the sense of embarrassment. And so I thought, I'm going to try one more time. So as I stood up, I leaned against the door and helped pull myself up. And the door opened because it opened this way. I know you're picturing the Far Side with the school for the gifted, where the door says pull and there. Yeah, I wasn't in there that long, but it felt like an eternity. And boy, then I started thinking about how embarrassed I would be the next morning if they just said, pull, and you'll get out. I still flush with embarrassment thinking about telling myself I'm stuck in this room overnight, and it's just because I don't know how to get out. I could have let myself out. But I think we very often find ourselves in situations where we feel trapped, and it turns out we've done it to ourselves. We have a way out, and we just don't know to take it, or we refuse to take it. And we have, I think, in the gospel story today, we have a story of that sense of being trapped, and yet the truth is we've been trapped by our own hand. We have this gospel story of the disciples locked up in this room. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. They were not locked in by someone else. And that's what we do to ourselves. Most of the times that we think of ourselves as victims or as trapped, we have a hand in that situation ourselves. We have, spiritually often, locked our hearts away from Jesus, and the way we do it is we try to create our identity of who we are through the world, when the only true identity that we can have that will have peace for us is an identity formed through Jesus. We lock ourselves away from Jesus. We become tentative about doing what we feel called to do because of what other people are doing or not doing. We become insulated, unwilling to take on the troubles of others. We always seem to seek self-reliance, not wanting to depend on anyone else, including God. We are locked in that room by our own expectations, by others' expectations. We're locked in by cultural pressure and norms, by consumerism, by the need for control, by the fear of failing, and by the need to prove ourselves. We lock the rooms of our hearts using earthly ways of defining ourselves and finding identity. I'm reading a book by Timothy Keller, and in it he talks, there's a whole section called The Problem of the Self. And he talks about how we form our identity and how we form our idea of the person that we are supposed to be. He says the Western understanding of identity formation is different, and he says it is a crushing burden, both for individuals and for society as a whole. And here's what he talks about in terms of how we in the West perceive our identity being formed. He says the self-made identity, based on our own performance and achievement in ways that older identities were not, makes our self-worth far more fragile in the face of failure and difficulty. In other words, if we identify ourselves by what we can accomplish and suddenly we're not capable of that anymore, a piece of our identity erodes. He says of this kind of thinking about accomplishment and forming yourself in that way, he says that this is a trap, because you will have to fixate on some good thing, a job, a relationship, and it will become no longer a thing to enjoy. It will become you, radically vulnerable and fragile. If we form the idea of the person we are to be through the outside world and through all of the cultural norms that are out there, we're going to leave ourselves vulnerable and very fragile, because those things change at a moment's notice. We find peace that lasts when we let Jesus into the locked room of the heart, when we identify ourselves not by our standing in the culture or by our accomplishments, but by our status as the beloved of God. We have to let Jesus in. Now, what does that mean to say we would let Jesus in? How do we release ourselves, escaping that dark room and moving back into the light? We do it by seeking to love and understand instead of worrying so much about winning and judging. We seek to know that the person that we are called to be, in other words, to know our own gifts and fears and challenges and passions, and not to hear what you're supposed to be, but to hear from God what you are called to be. We seek to bring peace to every interaction, to conversations, rather than adding to the noise. We seek not approval, but authenticity. There is a book by an author named Friedman, and it is about, it is much about sort of family systems with regard to pastors and clergy. And in that book, Friedman says that most people who feel called to this role are very much people pleasers and try to get approval and love approval and all those things. But he says if you try to do that, you will go crazy and you'll burn out. He says the only thing that you can do to sustain a loving ministry is to make it clear to the people you serve exactly who you are. If you are authentic and you respond to them out of that core of who you are authentically, then they may not agree with you every time, but they know where you're coming from, and they can trust you because you're consistent. So we have to be not approval-oriented, but turned more toward authenticity. I know this is going to sound daunting, but we are to seek accomplishment, not accomplishment, but holiness. To seek to be more like God and more loving. Sometimes, despite our plans and our resistance, Jesus gets into the locked room of our heart, no matter what we've tried to do. Jesus comes and speaks of peace that grows out of resurrection. Here we have a man who was killed by the system, and he has come back to life with that new, abundant life. And that appearance tells us the destruction of this world on us, societally and individually, is not permanent. And if we know that and believe it, can't some of the fears begin to fall away? Can't we begin to open the locked rooms to Jesus and identify through God and not through what the culture tells us to be? We're not locked in by some force outside ourselves. We have locked ourselves away from Jesus, trying to create an identity through the world, when the only true identity that can bring peace is one formed through God. It sounds easy. I don't think it's easy, but it's simple. Open the door. It's yours to open. You are not locked inside. You simply haven't realized that you have the power to release yourself from being trapped. Open the door. You have the power to decide who you will be in God. There's no need to continue to spend one more moment in the darkness behind that door. You're the one that locked it. Jesus is here. Let him in.